You turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 27. We're going to be reading verses 32 through 44. Matthew 27, 32 through 44. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests, with the scribes and elders, mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God, let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way." The other day I was reading a book and only half watching the TV, and I heard a commercial come on, and even though I wasn't really looking at the TV, the commercial said that they had all my Easter needs covered, which kind of made me curious, and so I started to listen. It was some kind of a store that had all kinds of Easter supplies. They had Easter candy and decorations, Easter bunny costumes, Easter bunny banners, of course, Easter bunny chocolate, place settings, table centerpieces, Easter eggs, and just on and on. Everything that you could possibly want or desire, but none of it had anything to do with Easter. I have to admit, when I heard that commercial, It bothered me a little bit. Despite their claiming to have all my Easter needs covered, yet everything that they were focused on just had nothing to do with Jesus, and none of it pointed to what he did on the cross and rising again from the dead. And sadly, that's what many in our world, that's their focus. That's what they think Easter is all about. And that's something we really need to fight against. Are any of you people watchers? I can remember when Arla and I, my wife, we used to go to a certain mall back where we used to live. It was an indoor mall, and my wife, she would go into different shops shopping, and I would often just sit out in the courtyard somewhere and either read a book or just watch people. And sometimes watching people, it can really be an educational experience. I remember I lost count one time of all the piercings that this young woman had on her face. This gal looked like she had gotten cozy with a nail gun, and it definitely showed. I remember being in awe of her at her courage, because to have that much metal all over your face, it had to have hurt. Or another time, I remember seeing a young man with this huge gauge in his ear, probably the size of a small dessert plate. And I remember just watching it and marveling that thing could stay there without any duct tape or anything else. It almost seemed like a bit of a miracle. These are the kind of things that we often focus on when we're watching others. Usually we focus on the unusual. But actually, though, most of the time we don't see things like that. Most of the time we just see ordinary people, just like us, walking around. And when you look at their faces, oftentimes you can't tell if they're happy or sad, if they're content or fulfilled. Even though they might have a smile on their face, yet you really can't tell what's going on inside them. I think you could say in our text that Matthew has taken some snapshots of the faces that he saw around the cross. And he took those snapshots so that we might not forget. And even though a lot of the people that we're going to be looking at this morning have very small parts to play in the story of Jesus going to the cross, yet they tell us so much about that story, things that we need to learn, because it helps us understand the gift that we've been given in Jesus. As you look at the people around the cross, you find some were there on purpose, some were there by accident, some were just passerbys. And I'm sure at the time many had no idea what they were witnessing, that really they were eyewitnesses of the most historic and momentous event that the world had ever known. Most of them had no idea why Jesus was dying on the cross. And sadly, I think this is still true today. Many people, they just have no idea why Jesus did die on the cross, why we make such a big deal about this. And so I hope by looking at these different snapshots that it might give us a new appreciation of this gift that we've been given in Jesus. The first face that we are shown at the cross is someone that was very close to the events, even though in many ways they were just a stranger. And that's verse 32, where we were shown the face of Simon. He was a Jew from Cyrene, which was in North Africa. He probably had come to Jerusalem to participate in the Passover. Simon was really nobody special. You could just say, really, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Because Jesus had been flogged so severely by the Roman soldiers, he wasn't able to carry the cross of the beam all the way to the place where they were going to crucify him. Roman floggings, they were brutal things. A lot of times people never even survived the flogging and made it to the cross. They would lose so much blood. When it looked like Jesus was unable to carry the beam of the cross any further, the soldiers apparently grabbed Simon from the crowd and forced him to carry it the rest of the way. I think you could say that Simon went to the cross that day unwillingly. He did it not out of his love for Jesus. He did it really because he had no choice. Maybe some of you feel that same thing, especially when you hear talk of how Jesus suffered and died on the cross for our sins. It makes you uncomfortable. A lot of times you really don't want to hear that. But the reason you do listen to it, the reason you go to church is maybe to please others, to please your spouse, to set a good example for your children. Maybe even because it's expected of you in going to the church that you go to. Simon was about as near to the cross as anyone could be. But being near Jesus, knowing about him, it's a lot different than actually walking with Jesus. The second face that we are shown at the cross are the faces of the soldiers, verse 35. Roman soldiers, they were used to the business of crucifixion. You could say their duties and proximity to it, it made them calloused. They saw it all the time, and after a while, it probably seemed like it wasn't such a big idea. It didn't seem such a big deal to them anymore. In the Roman Empire, crucifixion, it was the most gruesome way for someone to die. That's why it was only reserved for the most dangerous criminals. These soldiers had seen it apparently so many times that they weren't bothered by it. And the reason we know that is because they were more focused on Jesus' robe, because it was apparently quite expensive. And so as they were throwing dice to see who would get it, they were oblivious to the fact that Jesus, the Lamb of God, who had come to take away the sins of the world, was hanging right over their heads, dying for the sins of the world. Does this still happen today? I think so. Despite talking about the horrors of the cross, the world just isn't interested. Though Christ is right here before them, the greatest treasure in all the world, often people are too busy to see him. They're more concerned about themselves, about the things they own, about the things they want. It's like today. Even though some incredible things are happening all around us, this pandemic that's in our world, that's spread across the world, even though it points us to what the Bible reminds us of as being the end times and the last days, yet it's so easy to just look beyond it because we're so focused on ourselves. And even though Jesus is there, even now, through all this, with his arms open wide, many can't see it because, again, they're only looking at themselves. Third snapshot that Matthew shows us in our text is the faces of the curious, verse 36. I know when we lived in Chicago, I used to hate the traffic jams that we would often encounter. Sometimes you could be in a traffic jam for hours and hours, bumper to bumper. It was so frustrating. And then when you would finally get to where the accident was, you'd find out that it wasn't even on your side of the expressway, but it was on the other side. And the only reason that people were slowing down was because they were curious and they wanted to look at the accident. They called these backups gaper blocks because it's caused by people who are just curious, who are looking. That's also what we see going on at the cross. Some people, they've come there just to look, just to gawk, because they're curious. It's like my grandmother when I was a little kid. I remember going to her house or from her house, and if she was driving, Lord help us, if a fire truck came by. Because my grandma would do a U-turn right there in the street and chase the fire truck to find out where it was going. She was curious. She wanted to know what they were up to. Many people that were in Jerusalem that day, they knew about Jesus. Many had heard him speak. They had seen the miracles that he had done. Others had just heard stories told about him. And as people saw the commotion in the streets leading up to Golgotha, they were curious. They wanted to find out what would happen, maybe what Jesus would do. And they saw Jesus nailed to the cross. I'm sure they wanted to know what would happen next. There's a lot of people who are curious about Jesus. They've heard the good news. They may even want to learn more about Jesus. But if it never moves beyond their being curious, it doesn't do any good. Because to know Jesus is to have a relationship with him. To receive the gift of salvation, we have to walk with Christ. We have to ask him into our lives and into our hearts and forgive us of all our sins. I remember years ago counseling a young woman who was at the end of her rope. She was suicidal. Her young children were driving her absolutely crazy. And she was looking to other remedies to try to ease the pain that she had, oftentimes in very illegal ways. She came to me in desperation, wondering if I could help her. And even though I encouraged her and I pointed her to Jesus and encouraged her to start walking with Christ and to invite him into her life, yet she was unwilling to do it. She walked away that day, knowing about the truth, knowing about Jesus, but not yet walking with him. It's wonderful to be curious, to find out more about Jesus, to understand how much he loves us. Those are wonderful things. But we've got to move beyond that. There eventually has to be a relationship with the one that we're so interested in. Because that's the only way that we can receive the salvation that he has to offer us. We first have to know his love for ourselves. Fourth snapshot that Matthew shows us in our text are the faces of the critical. Verse 39. These folks are open critics of Jesus. First, Matthew describes those passing by. They hurled insults at him. They mocked him for saying that he would destroy the temple in 3 days. They said, "Save yourself if you are the Son of God." When they said that, can you see and hear how the devil was tempting Jesus to take an easy way? The devil didn't want Jesus to go to the cross. And so he tempted him, just as he tempted him in the desert. But thank you. Thankfully, our Lord kept his eyes on the finish line. He was obedient to his Father. Out of his love for you and me, he died on the cross for our sins. In addition to them, the chief priests and the elders and the teachers of the law, they began to taunt Jesus. These were the very folks who had also cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." They were jealous of Jesus. They were jealous of his popularity, and they wanted him out of the way because he was a threat to them, a threat to their wealth, a threat to their power. They hated Jesus because I think also it convicted them of their sins. I think that's also like many in the world today. They are actually hostile to the gospel, to the good news. Look at our secular media today. And we see that hate so clearly whenever anything that seems Christian is mentioned. That's also why when there's a pro-life march in Washington, it often receives so little recognition, even though there's hundreds of thousands of people there protesting, standing up for the sanctity of human life. It's also why our media promotes the LGBT agenda and label those who are not in agreement with it as haters and racist, because others don't agree with their viewpoint. I could go on, but I think you get the idea. There's just this hostility toward the gospel. And what a challenge it is for God's people today to respond in love rather in like kind. There's one more snapshot I want to look at this morning, and that's the face of conviction and belief. That's the thief who died on the cross, verse 44. We're told that the robbers that were nailed on the cross, crosses next to Jesus, one on each side, that they were mocking him and hurling insults at him as well. But apparently something happened to one of the criminals that was on the cross next to Jesus, because suddenly there was a change of heart. Listen to Luke 23:39 as he describes this. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth. Today, you will be with me in paradise." So what happened to this man as he hung on the cross? Clearly, he had a change of heart. He became convicted and convinced that Jesus really was the Son of God, that hope could be found only in him. Even though he had been mocking Jesus moments before this all happened, yet Jesus forgives him and gives him hope right before he dies. What an amazing thing to think of this man being in heaven. What had he done to deserve anything? Clearly nothing. He had lived his whole life for himself. But because he called on the name of the Lord, because he put his faith in Jesus, he became a child of God. I think the hymn nails it on the head when it says, "What wondrous love is this, O my soul, O my soul. What wondrous love is this, O my soul." Despite all the faces around the cross that day, in the end, though, it's all about relationship. It's about asking Jesus to forgive you of all your sins, asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Because if you don't ask him, then you're like one of those who heard the good news. You're like the curious. You're like those who were around the cross but never entered into a relationship with Jesus. Never accepted that gift of salvation as their own. See, in the end, it's a question not whether you're Catholic or Baptist or Lutheran or Christian Reform. What matters is, are you a child of God? Do you know Jesus? Have you asked Christ to be your Lord and Savior? I encourage all of you not to allow another day, another hour, another minute to go by until you've asked Christ into your life to take away your sins. As we celebrate Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, each of you need to ask yourself, of all the faces that you see on that street leading into Jerusalem, and of all the faces you see around the cross, which one of those faces is yours? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your wondrous love. Thank you for treating us not as we deserve, but showing us grace and mercy. Father, we know that we were there as well when our Savior was crucified, that our faces too are in that crowd. Forgive us, Lord. We know that, Jesus, you went to the cross on our behalf to take away our sins. But we pray this morning that this good news that we've heard, may it be more than just something we know. But Lord, may it encourage each one of us to walk with Christ, to put our trust in him. If some are far from the Lord this morning, Father, may they hear Jesus calling them to come home, calling them to once again experience Christ's love. Father, thank you that you've given us the privilege to be your ambassadors in the world around us to share your love. As we draw closer to the cross, closer to Easter, prepare our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.